Oh, yes, yes, yes.
That one cannot learn Bhagavad Gita unless one is pure in mind. But it's also that when you learn Bhagavad Gita, you get purified, and it's like a process. Also that unless you are pure, you can't realize the Bhagavad Gita. But since this particular purport of Prabhupada comes in the, right in the beginning, first canto of Srimad Bhagavad Gita, if there is a newcomer, won't they feel discouraged that, like, you know, if someone does not know, do any rules and regulations, and then he comes for a class and someone says that unless you are pure, you can't learn Bhagavatam. So, what would they, either some people feel offended that they think they are more pure and so they say this, or else they feel that what is, like, you know, unless you are qualified, you can't learn. That means they get discouraged. But however, I realized in this lunch session that the orthodoxy.
Ask the question, I'll go answer. It's fine.
I was thinking that yesterday's class can be an answer also, that although you are not able to follow, you should not be discouraged and try to follow. But that comes so much later in the Bhagavatam, that explanation. This comes in the beginning. So how to deal with
it? Oh, well, maybe that particular verse is late in the Bhagavatam, but many of the same ideas are there. In the second chapter of Bhagavatam already, there's divinity. This comes at the third chapter, first canto. The second chapter, first canto, is called Divinity and Divine Service, and it really explains basic principles of Krishna consciousness and how it works and how it purifies and so on. But I think that everyone should get encouraged already by the time they come to this text. And Prabhupada has already, in some ways, he's already said these things in different places. So we do want to encourage people to follow these principles. And Prabhupada was sometimes, you know, asked that how he was different from these different gurus and swamis coming all from India and everything. And Prabhupada said, we don't bluff. We tell the truth. And he meant about these things, like telling people what you really have to do for spiritual life. Because the cheaters, they all want to say, you can attain some high level of spiritual realization while still engaging in sense gratification and so on. It's like, great, you know, this is a better deal. But that's always giving something for nothing. Like, if a guy comes up to you in the street and says, hey, would you like to get a Rolex watch, and it's only $100. How much for $100? Sure, you know. You're going to get cheated. It's not going to be a real Rolex watch. Because you think you're going to get something for nothing. And if you're a little dubious, you know, how can you give me a Rolex watch for $100? And if you sew something, how's that possible? It's so cheap. He says, well, I really can't talk about it, you know, but they fell off a truck. In other words, they're stolen. And then, okay, you know, so you're a cheater too, so then you complain you got cheated, but you wanted something for nothing. So there are many people like that. So Prabhupada actually, he tells everybody. And then people complain that, well, you know, if you tell people these things, nobody will come. And Prabhupada blew that off. Because he said, well, if you're selling diamonds, you don't expect everybody will be able to buy it. So he simply wasn't going to compromise. Now we try to encourage people as much as possible, and we tell people it's a gradual process, and you don't have to do everything overnight, but the truth is the truth. All right? So let us go to our second class of today. we'll assume Guy Radamanava's last name for both classes. Let me just get it up here. This is Srimad Bhagavatam 5.18.8. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So we are reading in Srimad Bhagavatam 5.18.8. This takes place in the fifth canto, where we get a tour of the different varshas of Jambudvip. And one of them is called Harivarsha, the one to the extreme north. And there, and in each varsha or region or country or whatever, a different great devotee is leading the inhabitants in the worship of a different incarnation of God. So in Harivarsha, Prahlad Maharaj leads the inhabitants in prayers to Lord Nrsimhadev. So this is his prayer to Nrsimhadev. It always starts with one prayer like this, which is not in verse. It's in prose. And it's referred to as an Upanishadic prayer, because many of the Upanishads are not in verse. Upanishadika. So the first prayer is like that. And this is another situation where the purport, there's more purport to the first prayer in the purport to the second. There's more. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, the purport. Things like that. So for chanting this one, I'll just break it up sort of at random or whatever. There's two sentences, but we're not going to do a whole sentence responsibly. Many people know this prayer already. So I won't do each word, we'll just go through it. Just say after me, Om Namo Bhagavate Narasimhaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Narasimhaya.
Namaste Jaste Jase.
Namaste Jaste Jase.
Avir Avir Bhava.
Avir Avir Bhava.
Vajranaka Vajratamstra.
Vajranaka Vajratamstra.
Karma Shayan Randaya Randaya.
Karma Shayan Randaya Randaya.
Namo grasa grasa.
Namo grasa grasa.
Om swaha.
Om swaha.
Abhayam abhayam atmani.
Abhayam abhayam atmani.
Bhuhishta.
Bhuhishta.
Om kshaum.
Om kshaum.
Om namo bhagavate narasimhaya.
Om namo bhagavate narasimhaya.
Namaste jaste jase.
Namaste jaste jase.
Avira virvava.
Avira virvava.
Vajranaka vajradamsa.
Vajranaka vajradamsa.
Armashaya nandaya randaya.
Armashaya nandaya randaya.
Namo grasa grasa.
Namo grasa grasa.
Om swaha.
Om swaha.
Abhayam abhayam.
Abhayam abhayam.
Atmani bhuhishta.
Atmani bhuhishta.
Om shau.
Om shau.
Somebody else, you can divide it up if you want.
Om Namo Bhagavate
Narasimhaya.
Namaste jaste jaste.
Namaste jaste jaste.
Avirbhava. Vajranaka vajradamsa.
Vajranaka vajradamsa.
Namashayam randara randaya.
Namashayam randaya randaya.
Namograsa rasa.
Namograsa rasa.
Om swaha.
Om swaha.
Abhayam abhayam.
Abhayam abhayam.
Atmani bhuhishta.
Atmani bhuhishta.
Om shau.
Om shau.
Om namo bhagavate narasimhaya.
Om namo bhagavate narasimhaya.
Namaste jaste jaste.
Namaste jaste jaste.
Avir avir bhava.
Avir avir bhava.
Vajra nakha vajra damsa.
Vajra nakha vajra damsa.
Karma shayan randhaya randhaya.
Karma shayan randhaya randhaya.
Grasa grasa.
Namo grasa grasa.
Om swaha.
Om swaha.
Abhayam abhayam.
Abhayam abhayam.
Atmani bhuhishta.
Atmani bhuhishta.
Om shau.
Om shau.
Om.
O Lord,
Namaha,
Namaha,
my respectful obeisances,
Bhagavate,
unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead,
Narasimhaya,
known as Lord Narasimha,
Namaha,
obeisances,
Tejatejase,
the power of all power.
The power of all power.
Avi Avir Baba.
Avi Avir Baba.
Please be fully manifest.
Please be fully manifest.
Vajranaka.
Vajranaka.
O you who possess nails like thunderbolts.
O you who possess nails like thunderbolts.
Vajradamshta.
Vajradamshta.
O you who possess teeth like thunderbolts.
O you who possess teeth like thunderbolts.
Karma ashayan.
Karma ashayan.
Demoniac desires to be happy by material activities.
Demoniac desires to be happy by material activities.
Randaya, randaya,
randaya,
randaya. Kindly vanquish.
Kindly vanquish.
Tamaha.
Tamaha.
Ignorance in the material world.
Ignorance in the material world.
Rasa.
Rasa.
Kindly drive away.
Kindly drive away.
Rasa.
Rasa.
Kindly drive away.
Kindly drive away.
Om.
Om.
Om my Lord.
Om my Lord.
Swaha.
Swaha.
Respectful oblations.
Respectful oblations.
Abhayam.
Abhayam.
Fearlessness.
Fearlessness.
Abhayam.
Abhayam.
Fearlessness.
Fearlessness.
Atmani.
Atmani.
In my mind.
In my mind.
Bhuhishta.
Bhuhishta.
May you appear.
May you appear.
Om.
Om.
O Lord.
O Lord.
Shaum.
Shaum.
The bija or seed,
the bija or seed
of mantras offering prayers to Lord Narasimha.
Of mantras offering prayers to Lord Narasimha.
translation, I offer my respectful obeisances unto Lord Nrsimhadeva, the source of all power. O my Lord, who possesses nails and teeth just like thunderbolts, kindly vanquish our demon-like desires for curative activities in this material world. Please appear in our hearts and drive away our ignorance, so that by your mercy we may become fearless in the struggle for existence in this material world. Srila Prabhupada's purport. In Srimad Bhagavatam 4:22-39, Sanat Kumar speaks the following words to Maharaj Prithu. Yatpar pumpichapalasha vilasa bhaktya karmashayam susimur kamashayam pratitam urgrantayanti santaha padvandadiktamatayo yatayo vivutta sroto ganastavaranam bhajavasudevam. Devotees always engage in the service of the toe of the Lord's lotus feet. How the Lord's lotus feet can very easily become free from the hard-knotted desires for fruitive activities. Because this is very difficult, the non-devotees, the jnanis and yogis, cannot stop the waves of sense gratification, although they try to do so. Therefore, you are advised to engage in devotional service of Krishna, the son of Vasudeva. Every living being within this material world has a strong desire to enjoy matter, is full of satisfaction. Is that true? For this purpose, the conditioned soul must accept one body after another, and thus his strongly fixed fruitive desires continue. One cannot stop the repetition of birth and death without being completely desirous. Here's an example of straight talk to the problem. Therefore, Rupa Goswami described pure bhakti, devotional service, as follows. Anyabhilasita shunyam jnana karmati anavritam anukuryena krishna nushilanam bhaktir uttama. One should render transcendental loving service to the Supreme Lord Krishna favorably and without desire for material profits or gain through fruitive activities or philosophical speculation. That is called pure devotional service. Unless one is completely freed of all material desires, which are caused by the dense darkness of ignorance, one cannot fully engage in the devotional service of the Lord. Therefore, we should always offer our prayers to Lord Nrsimhadeva, who killed Hiranyakashipu, the personification of material desires. Hiranya means gold, and Kashipu means a soft cushion or bed. Materialistic persons always desire to make the body comfortable, and for this they require huge amounts of gold. Thus Hiranyakashipu was the perfect representative of materialistic love. He was therefore the cause of great disturbance to the topmost devotee, Prahlad Maharaj, until Lord Nrsimhadeva killed him. Any devotee aspiring to be free of material desires should offer his respectful prayers to Nrsimhadeva, as Prahlad Maharaj did in this verse. I'm just going to continue. So then the next prayer of Prahlad Maharaj, Svastyastu Vishvasya Kalapasidatam Dayantu Bhutani Shivam Dhurubhya Manasya Bhadram Patitada Vatsajay Aveshatamya Matharapyaya Tuti. May there be good fortune throughout the universe. See, he's still praying. He's praying to Lord Nrsimhadeva, asking for his benedictions again, continuing in that theme. The previous verse he asked for some things, now he's asking more. May there be good fortune throughout the universe, and may all envious persons be pacified. May all living entities become calm by practicing bhakti yoga. For by accepting devotional service, they will think of each other's welfare. And therefore, let us all engage in the service of the Supreme Transcendence, Lord Sri Krishna, and always remain absorbed in thought of Him. Report. The following verse describes a Vaishnava. Panchakalpa Trubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhyo Vajakatipanam Mahalibhyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Namaha. Just like a desire tree, a Vaishnava can fulfill all the desires of anyone who takes shelter of his lotus feet. Prahlad Maharaj is a typical Vaishnava. He prays not for himself, but for all living entities, the gentle, the envious, and the mischievous. He always thought of the welfare of mischievous persons like his father, Hiranyakashipu. Prahlad Maharaj did not ask for anything for himself, rather he prayed for the Lord to excuse his demoniac father. This is the attitude of a Vaishnava who always thinks of the welfare of the entire universe. Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Dharma are meant for persons who are completely free of envy. Parama Nirmatsaranam. Therefore, Prahlad Maharaj prays in this verse, Kala Pusidatam. May all the envious persons be pacified. The material world is full of envious persons, but if one frees himself of envy, he takes up Krishna consciousness and engages himself. Anyone who takes up Krishna consciousness. The material world is full of envious persons, but if one frees himself from envy, he becomes liberal in his social dealings and can think of each other, of others' welfare. Anyone who takes up Krishna consciousness and engages himself completely in the service of the Lord cleanses his mind of all envy. Manastha Bhadram Bhajata Devoksajan. Therefore, now we come back to the previous verse also. Therefore, we should pray to Lord Nrisimhadev to sit in our hearts. We should pray, but here in the Srimha, Hridaye Nrisimha, let Lord Nrisimhadev sit in the core of my heart, killing all my bad propensities. Let my mind become clean so that I may peacefully worship the Lord and bring peace to the entire world. Because the previous verse, Abhayam Abhayam Atmani Bhuvishnam, you're praying there for it to come into your heart also. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur has given us a very fine purport in this regard. Whenever one offers a prayer to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one always requests a benediction from him. Even pure Nishkama devotees pray for some benediction, as instructed by Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in his Shastika. Ainanda tunu jukhikaram patitamam vishyame babam buddhau kripaya tavapara pankata sitaduni sadvishyam kuchipaya. The son of Maharaj Nanda, Krishna, I am your eternal servitor, yet somehow or other I have fallen into the ocean of birth and death. Please pick me up from this ocean of death and place me on the atoms at your lotus feet. In another prayer, Lord Chaitanya says, Mamma janmani janmanishwade bhakti rahitititvani. Life after life, kindly let me have unalloyed love and devotion at your lordship's lotus feet. When Prahlad Maharaj chants, Om Namo Bhagavate Narasimhaya, that's the previous verse, he prays for a benediction from the Lord. But because he is also an exalted Vaishnava, he wants nothing for his personal sense gratification. The first desire expressed in his prayer is Swastyastu Vishvasya, let there be good fortune throughout the entire universe. Prahlad Maharaj thus requests the Lord to be merciful to everyone, including his father, a most envious person. And then he goes, oh, according to Chanakya Pandit, there are two kinds of envious living entities. One is a snake. We talk about snakes. One is a snake. And the other is the man like Hiranyakashipu, who is by nature envious of everyone, even of his father or son. Hiranyakashipu was envious of his little son Prahlad, but Prahlad Maharaj asked a benediction for the benefit of his father. Hiranyakashipu was very envious of other devotees, but Prahlad wished that his father and other demons like him would give up their envious nature of the grace of the Lord and stop harassing the devotees. Prahlad perceived upon him. The difficulty is that the Kala, the envious living entity, is rarely pacified. One kind of Kala, the snake, can be pacified simply by mantras or by the actions of a particular herb. Herb, manchaushadi vashaha sarpaha kalakena nirvaryate. An envious person, however, cannot be pacified by any means. Therefore, Prahlad Maharaj prays that all envious persons may undergo a change of heart and think of the welfare of others. If the Krishna consciousness movement spreads all over the world, and if by the grace of Krishna everyone accepts it, the thinking of envious people will change. Everyone will think of the welfare of others. Therefore, Prahlad Maharaj plays Shivam Mita Udiya. In material activities, everyone is envious of others, but in Krishna consciousness, no one is envious of anyone else. Everyone thinks of the welfare of others. Therefore, Prahlad Maharaj prays that everyone's mind may become gentle by being fixed at the lotus feet of Krishna Bhajita Dharoksajay. As indicated elsewhere in Srimad Bhagavatam, Savayamana Krishna Badara Vindayo, and as advised by Lord Krishna in Bhagavad Gita, Manmana Bhavamad Bhaktaha, one should constantly think of the lotus feet of Sri Krishna, of Lord Krishna, then one's mind will certainly be cleansed. Cheto Dharpana Marjana. Materialists always think of sense gratification. But Prahlad Maharaj prays that the Lord's mercy will change their minds and they will stop thinking of sense gratification. If they think of Krishna always, everything will be all right. Some people argue that if everyone thought of Krishna in that way, the whole universe would be vacated because everyone would go back home, back to Godhead. However, Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur says that this is impossible because the living entities are innumerable. If one set of living entities is actually delivered by the Krishna consciousness movement, another set will fill the entire universe. Ma Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Samarthi Bhakti Vedanta Swamini Kudama Namaste Saraswate Deve Gaurava Nachayana Vishesha Shunya Vahita Stracha Vesa Tanami Om Agyanam Timbaran Lasya Garamya Shilakaya Chatsur Un Meditin Jinyam Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Panchakalpa Trityascha Kripa Sindhu Vivacha Kripitanam Well, this prayer, I have some tablets and some stuff on that one. Notice this prayer, Om Namo Bhagavate Narasimhaya. That's a standard. So he's offering his obeisances unto the Supreme Lord, Nrisimhadeva, who's described here as Tejas Tejasa, the power of all powers. Now, you'll notice in this verse there's a great deal of repetition. Prabhupada remarks that repetition indicates strong feeling. You see it here. Tejas Tejasa, the power of all powers. And again another, Avir Avirva, be manifest, be fully manifest. And then again, the Lord is described, these are like names of the Trinity, Vajranaka. His claws are like lightning bolts. Vajra also means diamond. Same word for diamond, lightning. So Vajranaka, his claws, they're claws, we call them nails, but he's a lion, they're claws. Vajradamshtra, his fangs, his teeth, are also Vajra. Vajranaka, Vajradamshtra. So his power, these are the killing weapons of the lion, or the fangs and the claws, right? So these are his weapons for destruction, his instruments for destruction, and that both like lightning bolts. So this is the Lord whose power and strength is, and then Adir Adir, you wanted to become, make yourself manifest. For what purpose? Karma Shayan Randaya Randaya. Again, repetition. Vanquish, vanquish. Get rid of karma shayan. It's Prabhupada here in the word. Demoniac desires to be happy by material activities. Karma shayan. Karma means material activities. And the word ashaya means like a stockpile of them. And actually, karmashaya, I think, is a yogic term. Here's from the Yoga Sutras. The karma or ashaya, the balance of the fruits of previous work, which lies stored in the mind in the form of mental deposits of merit or demerits, until they ripen in the individual's soul, in the individual soul's own experience, and to enjoyment and so on. So everybody has this deposit, the stockpile, the accumulation of material desires and past karma. This is the karmashana. Prabhupada will talk about this later. So you want him with using those teeth and nails, his power, to vanquish these, and then again in parallel construction, tamo grasa grasa, drive out the mold of ignorance, tamo grasa grasa, and then two words, om. The Bija mantra, Om, and then Swaha, the offer oblations to fire, and then Avayam Abhayam, again a repetition, fearlessness, Atmani Bhumishta, please appear Atmani in my mind, and may you appear in my mind, and therefore producing fearlessness, Avayam Abhayam. And then Om, again the Bija mantra. And then this Kshaum is specifically the Bija mantra for the Sringadeva. When you worship the Sringadeva, you say Om Kshaum Narasimhaya Namaha. Kshaum, that's his mantra. So here's this prayer. Yeah, asking the Lord and telling about his power with the idea that he somehow appear in my heart, my mind, and destroy this karmashayan and this tamo ignorance. So Prabhupada, first of all, in the purport, quotes a verse for this word, karmashayan gratitam. This yet para pankaja palasa vilasa bhakya. This verse tells how this karmashayan is a knot, gratitam. It's called The Knot in the Heart. There are several other verses which I had, but my program crashed. Destroyed my links before they were saved. There are other verses where these the same terms used. Kamashan shows up a number of times in Bhagavatam. It's the knot in the heart. Hard knotted is Sahasrara activity. It's called the knot in the heart sometimes because it's a knot because it ties the soul to the material body. It's that knot. And it's a cause of bondage. So the devotees, as this verse says, they can overcome this. Although others who are Jnanis and Karmis, they cannot do it. And this is this Karmasha. And then Prabhupada makes this blunt statement. First, every living being within this material world has a strong desire to enjoy matter to its fullest satisfaction. I could say, well, no, I just want, a little bit. I don't want everything. I'm not so greedy. I just want A, B, C, D, and E, and I'll be satisfied. But that's only because you think you can't get it all. If you thought you could get it all, you would go for it. They want to enjoy matter to its fullest satisfaction for this person. Well, the conditioned soul must accept one body after another. Yes, this karmashan will drive you forward. It's just a deep-rooted desire to enjoy matter. And then Prabhupada says, one cannot stop the repetition of birth and death without being completely desireless. No material desires whatsoever. As long as there's a material desire, it will not be fulfilled in Vaikuntha or in Goloka Vrindavan. There's no scope. If you have loads of material desires and you end up in Vaikuntha, you'd say, hey man, what is this place? There's nothing happening here. You won't like it. Really, so for the satisfaction of material desires, one takes birth again in this material world. And therefore, pure bhakti means that these desires eventually are all gone. Unless one is completely free of all material desires, kamasha, which are caused by the dense darkness of ignorance, tamo grasa grasa, one cannot fully engage in devotional service of the Lord. So we are looking for that devotional service of the Lord. So here's the obstacle. These two things, Karmashayan and Tamaha. They're there. Therefore, we should always offer our prayers to the Lord Nishrimidev, who killed Hiranyakashipu, the personification of material desire. So he's the representative of material life. Any devotee aspiring to be free of material desires should offer his respectful prayers to Lord Nisringadeva as Prahlad Maharaj did in this verse. There's Prabhupada's instructions to offer these prayers, to come sit in my heart and destroy, because our material desires, they form what Freud calls a complex. There's a complex, and what happens because this karmashan, it resides in the subtle body, and we ourselves with the intelligence have decided to become devotees, but still, even though we decided that from previous lives this karmashan and is surrounded by the tama wants to keep on going. So therefore, it's fair to say that in our heart there's a little Hiranyakashipu. Or maybe a big Hiranyakashipu. Uh, And well, the first thing is that. Of course, a devotee, especially in the beginning, sometimes we feel inner conflict. We want one thing, pure devotional service, and become free from desires. And let's say our inner Hiranyakashipu or our mind wants something else. We're conflicted. And people will sometimes tell you, you know, this is not good. This is not healthy. You should be in one with yourself. In fact, William James has a classical work called Varieties of Religious Experience. And he has a chapter or two, maybe, on the divided self, I think, huh? The divided self as a characteristic religious type and maybe disturbance of the divided self. And I know when I was becoming a devotee, a prosecuting devotee, my old friend said, you know, what's wrong with you? This is very bad for you because we used to be so together and kind of wholesome or something, and now you're not at ease with yourself anymore. And it was true. But I was together because I just, I flowed with my material desires, so now I want to do something else. So a devotee will go through a period like this where there's a sense of inner conflict. That is good. It's good. And this is also discussed in the sixth chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, where Krishna says, in the very beginning, about the mind. The mind is the friend of the conditioned soul and the enemy as well. For him who has conquered the mind is the best of friends. But for one who has failed to do so, his mind will remain the greatest enemy. So in the beginning, the mind is the enemy. We want to be Krishna conscious, the mind does not. It has the habits of sense gratification. It's conditioned. You know, the trouble is with habits is they're really hard to break. They get programmed in, and it just wants to keep on going. And when you want to change a habit, you really have to go through a struggle. And so this is typical. The mind has all these habits of sense gratification, which are very, very powerful. And really, we reach the process of devotional service, which takes place on the platform of intelligence. Think of the mind as just like a dumb computer that's being programmed. And it's programmed so that the habits of sense gratification is there. So when you see sense objects, you think of sense gratification. Already the memory, the way of seeing, the way of recognizing things is polluted. It's impure. So when we do in devotional service, we don't just back off from those things, but actually we reprogram our mind. Because I'm in the habit of buying foodstuffs to eat. Right? And I look at all the things to eat, I just, man, I'm going to like that. This will be great. But now I'm becoming a devotee. So now I still go and I buy something to eat, and I think, I'm going to offer these to Krishna. I'm not going to enjoy these grapes. I'm going to buy these grapes for Krishna. Even though I really like grapes, I'm going to offer them to Krishna first. I will not think of enjoying them. I'll just offer to Krishna. And so we start looking at that way. Everything we see. We're on the street and we see a person coming toward us. And, you know, we usually evaluate people that we're going to stop and talk to. For various things, will they be socially nice people to know or not? How will they be as sexual partners? You know, all these assessments in terms of various parameters of sense gratification. But we go up to and we take a book. In other words, we evaluate them, will you become somebody for Krishna to enjoy? I'm going to bring you to Krishna for Krishna to enjoy. That's a means to make a devotee. It's to bring someone to Krishna for Krishna to enjoy. It's not like making a boyfriend or a girlfriend. It's different. Or a good social connection or a business connection or something like that. So if we do this, the world starts to change. At first it's a struggle because the mind wants to go to its default position. But if we're persistent, then gradually Krishna consciousness becomes the new habit. Then the mind is your friend. Then the habits are the habits of Krishna consciousness. Then you wake up early without thinking about it. You don't have to decide whether to go to Mangalarti or not any more than you have to decide whether or not you're going to brush your teeth. These are habits. You get the habits of Krishna consciousness. But in the intermediate period of time, there's resistance. But of course, even though now our behavior starts to change, still the heart is not converted. And the deep-rooted desires still go on. And we think we purified ourselves somewhat, but then we're like appalled sometimes to find out what's still there. And so we try a little more to eradicate this karmashayan, and it just doesn't go away so easy. Because this is very powerful, very deep-rooted desire. I remember seeing some Bugs Bunny cartoon when I was a kid. And there was this carrots or something that went really deep, and he was trying to get the carrot out of the ground, and Bugs Bunny was in the underground with a burrow pulling on the other end. Would you come out? Would you come out? And stuff like that, the roots go down really, really deep, and there's something pulling on the other end, they just don't seem to want to come out. That's why we have to pray to Nisringadevi. And it is really, as in the very first text we studied in the purport, that we understand that it is Krishna who has to remove this desire. I can't do it. My desires, like Hiranyakashipu, maybe it's, or this complex of desires, is Karmashayam, is big and more powerful than I am. So therefore we have to pray, like Prahlad did to the Srinivasa, to appear in my heart, and then with those fangs and those claws, equal apart. So this is the attitude for advancement in Krishna consciousness, where this appeal is there, to the Supreme Lord, to destroy these material desires. And the good news is that if Krishna does it, it can be done, because I may not be so good at it. I may not be strong enough or powerful enough, but Lord Nisringa can do it. And therefore, we worship Nisringadeva, Bhakti Vigna Vinasa Nisringa, who destroys the obstacles in devotional service. That's why we have a lot of Nisringadeva. Big ferocious in the street. Movement sometimes for this purpose to eliminate these kinds of things from our heart. So when we go on to the second prayer. I never really noticed this one until I happened to notice that really Prabhupada's commenting on the first verse in this purport. Then I looked at this verse and said, wow, this is a really fantastic verse. But here
Prahlad is now praying for the welfare of everyone. The Swastyasura, by the way, has an interesting structure. It starts out very general. Swastyastu Vishvasha. May the whole universe become astu, you know. May it be swasti. It means auspicious. Swastika, swasti. Swasti. Swastyastu. It's a benediction. May the whole universe become auspicious. Kala pasidatam. May all those who... Kala means an envious person. Pasidatam. Prabhupada notice he says it's almost everyone. Because you're kind of going from the general to the more particular. Dayantu bhutani shivam mitodhya. And here may all living entities but really what it says, may they come to consider each other, may they wish each other well, and they all come to become well wishers of each other. May they develop this intelligence by which they wish each other well. So we go from Swastyastu Vishvasha, then to the envious, which is almost everybody, and then all living entities, may they learn to wish each other well. And then Manastapatram, then we're down to our mind. May our minds become Bhadram. You see, they're just different words. Swasti, Shivam, and then Bhadram. They all mean auspicious. May our minds become auspicious. And how is all this supposed to happen? But start the hopes today, aveshitam, by our intelligence and sense in becoming absorbed in the Supreme Lord without any haituki, without any personal desire. It's like a prayer for universal peace. And so Prabhupada very nicely says this is what we ask for, the welfare of the whole world, that everyone should be. So then this, they come, and Prabhupada's commenting on this, Manastabhadram Bhajitada Hoksaje, may our minds become free from all envy or animosity or hostility or negative feelings for other people. Prabhupada uses the word envy as just for general negativity, hostility. Generally, at least in American English, envy means you want what somebody else has. And jealous means you guard whatever you have from everybody else. But Prabhupada uses envy as always in this kind of general way of just being having animosity or bad intentions or something or other. So that's in the heart. May the Lord... So again, to cleanse our mind of envy, so now Prabhupada goes back to thinking in the first verse, therefore we should pray to Lord Nisringa to sit in our hearts. And he says we should pray by hearing Nisringa Hridaye Nisringa. Wow, I know that prayer. We sing it every day, right? And then Prabhupada tells us what we're doing when we sing it. Let Lord Nisringa Dev sit in the core of my heart, killing all my bad propensities. See? Because by hearing Nisringa, Nisringa is outside. So may Nisringa Dev purify the whole world. Lord, this is the same prayer. By hearing Nisringa, may you go outside. And then, Hridaye Nisringa, and Nisringa in my heart. That means, may he appear in my heart so that I can become, my mind becomes clean so I can peacefully worship the Lord and bring peace to the entire world. That's fantastic. So there we do it. By hearing Nisringa, Hridaye Nisringa. And then Prabhupada talks about Vishnu Chakravarti, who says he has a very fine purport in this regard. And basically, the emphasis is that, as Prabhupada says, when one offers a prayer to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one always requests a benediction from him. This is important to know. Because sometimes I've been instructed never to ask anything from Krishna. That's wrong. Here, Bhishma Thakur, you should always ask something. The thing is, one should ask for the right thing. We don't ask anything material or we seem selfish. But we do ask a benediction. Even Nishkama devotees pray for some benediction. And then he quotes two verses from the Shishasi where Lord Chaitanya is asking for something. So, and I think from this, these prayers, we get this sense of urgency. Tamo grasa grasa. Tama shandandayaranda. Tamo grasa grasa. And we get these prayers have like a certain feeling. And what also we should know that when the Hare Krishna mantra is also a prayer. What did Prabhupada say the meaning of the mantra was? Do you remember? Oh Lord, O energy of love, please engage in your service. We're asking for a benediction. And one of the instructions is that when chanting a mantra, you should think of the meaning of the mantra. So, we should chant the Hare Krishna mantra also with that some feeling of asking for a benediction. Please engage me in your service. And there's a corollary. A corollary means another statement that's logically identical. In other words, please engage me in your service, or please disengage me from anything that gets in the way of your service. It follows automatically. Please disengage me from anything. So then it's the same prayer. Please disengage me from anything that's an obstacle. So here's where, if we are serious about Krishna consciousness, we should think about what it is that I, maybe I have some particular problem, attachment, or attitude, or something that's in the way. So I pray to the Lord to get rid of it. And we can, in that way, chant with some feeling, pray with some feeling. Then at least we should be confident that Krishna will come. We should do everything we can to chant sincerely about this. Sometimes we, in principle, want to become free from all material desires, but in practice we're not quite ready yet. Like St. Augustine's famous thing, he said, when I was young and immature, I prayed to the Lord, oh Lord, please give me continence and chastity, but not just yet. So this is a common enough phenomenon. We want it, but not just yet. Well, please destroy my material desire to leave this one alone. So, if we're embarking on the path of pure devotional service, it's understood that we will have material desires. We know that's the condition. But what really needs to be the issue is what is our attitude toward those desires?
Are we hanging on?
I mean, it's a sort of a desire about desires. I notice that sometimes in the woods, the forestry people come by with a little spray paint and they mark the trees to be destroyed with little red X's, and then somebody comes along later and cuts them down. Right? So we should look at all our desires and we should, you know, put that red X on there. We should just, or if you like war games, a target laser, painting the target. and say to Krishna, I just paint the target, you destroy it. But I have to be serious about this. I have to ask him, because one reason he may not come is because I'm saying, leave this alone. I think there has to be a real sense of urgency. And so this requires faith. Does anybody remember Lord Chaitanya's definition of faith? Yeah, it's the strong conviction that if I attain bhakti, a devotional service, sarva karma kritta hoy, everything else will automatically be accomplished. So if I have a fear that if I don't go after this thing or want this thing, that maybe Krishna won't give it to me, so I want Krishna consciousness plus at least 100,000 a year. 150, it's New York. I want Krishna consciousness and 150,000. Krishna, I want devotional service, but I can't stand it unless I have 150,000 a year. You know, just don't make me poor. Or something. Or surrender means, you know, Krishna, I'll let you manage my finances. In fact, I really think I need money, but I may be wrong, and if you want to give it to me, that's up to you. If you want me to be poor, I'm sure that's the best thing for me. And I will appreciate whatever you do, because you know me better than I know myself, and you know what I need better than I know myself, and I really understand this is a material attachment. Please get rid of it. We have to come to that. No reservations. Say that's the faith, because maybe to have that, pray, you know, sincerely about this, one has to have this confidence in Krishna. He's not going to mess me over like some other people have done. He's going to do better than I am. And the Bhagavad Gita is always telling us that. Always is saying to us, you know, Krishna says, my devotee never vanquishes, he surrenders to the Lord utterly. He takes care of everything. This is, you know, sarvadharman puritjajam, amekam saranam bhajam. That's the meaning of this. You just give up all your theories about what you need and just let me take care of it. But you want to concentrate on me fully. So I'll tell you what, Krishna says, I'll let you do that. And meanwhile, don't you have to worry about anything else. I'll just manage it for you. I'll free you up. Take care of you. So it requires trust. Now, sometimes people will raise the counter examples. Well, X surrendered to Krishna, look what happened to them. So sometimes it looks like, look at the Pandavas. I mean, it's not a secret. Right? They surrendered to Krishna, and boy, what a life. It was like total. But they didn't see it the way we may see it. They saw all these tribulations, as Queen Kunti prays, as bringing them closer to Krishna, and they welcomed them. Look at Maharaj Pariksit. Here he was, a great king, pure devotee. Now he had to die, sitting there waiting for this Hollywood special effect monster to come and bite him. But he didn't look at it that way. He thought it was great. He was into it. He had a glorious last week. Hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, and by the time the snake comes, he says, here's a messenger from Krishna. and the he saw things as they were. So we always see that where it looks like it was something difficult, that actually the people who were undergoing it, they were totally into it. And so many people have been giving material benedictions, the first they couldn't hardly wait to get rid of it. That's the other thing. They wanted to dump it and go to the forest in Vermont. Everybody has to persuade him to stay. So it's a question of having this confidence in Krishna, because it can be done. So this is another element of this determination. I want Krishna consciousness, and having some confidence in Krishna that he can manage things better than I can. So Prabhupada advises us very strongly that we should pray this way to Lord Srinadeva. When I read this purport, I memorized the prayer. And when I finally looked at the next one, I realized I was already praying that anyway and didn't know. By hearing the Sringa, Ritaya in the Sringa. So then we should do this with some energy and some feeling. And then wait for Krishna's mercy. Any questions? Yeah.
Before you were mentioning about everybody leaving the material world.
Oh yeah, I didn't mention that. Yeah,
yeah, but I was just wondering, if everyone in the universe should go back to Godhead, wouldn't that be a good thing?
Yeah, but didn't you say, wait a minute, the universe will be empty. Well, how about an empty universe? But it'll fill back up again.
No, but I'm just saying, let's suppose everybody did go back and nobody came back.
Wouldn't
that be great?
Yeah, it is great. We should try
so
for that.
I thought you were trying to say that would not be such a great thing.
Well, somebody might object that it can happen because it would be an empty universe. But don't worry about that. That's not a good objection. Because more souls come in. That's all. There's unlimited souls.
Will there ever be a point where there will be only the material world?
You know, Prabhupada described that the material world is like a prison. So just like a prison in this world, prisoners are being released, but others are going in. And as the number of souls has no limit, if they're infinite souls, you can subtract infinity from infinity, and you get infinity. But we should want everybody to go back to Godhead. I told, I was in this Vaishnava Christian dialogue, and we started talking about hell. You know, and the Christian official doctrine is there's eternal damnation. But I said, we don't believe. I said, people may go to hell, but eventually everyone goes back to Godhead. I said, our philosophy is no soul left behind. That's Krishna's position. No soul left behind. Yeah?
So, you know, I hear you when you said earlier, no, you were talking about Lord Chaitanya's definition of faith, that simply by attaining Krishna, all our desires will be fulfilled.
All other, yeah, things will be, yeah, right. Yeah,
right.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, frequently when I'm praying, I pray for purification, but then somewhere inside me there's a voice saying, but I'm scared, Krishna, of how you choose to do it.
Yes, I know.
So, how do you get over that? I mean, it is true. I mean, sometimes, you know, Krishna will, they choose to purify you by completely taking away things that you're attached to, and maybe that's what you really require, but it's scary.
Yeah, well, don't be frightened. It's okay. After he takes it away, you find out you didn't want it anyway. What's the matter?
Because it's so hard to like accept that.
It's kind of like
it's funny, like you have really problem trusting God. You know what that means? That means you don't trust reality, you don't trust existence. I mean, Yeah, it's like cosmic paranoia almost.
Well, I feel almost like an atheist sometimes when I think like that, because then I feel like, how come I'm not trusting you? But then I feel scared of how he's going to do it.
Even Prabhupada talked about things like that. He told you, he probably said that when his spiritual master appeared to him in a dream several times and told him to take sannyas. Remember what Prabhupada said his first reaction was? He says, I was horrified.
Really?
Yeah. That's what he says, I was horrified.
Why?
Well, you know, it's a... If he told you to leave your family and go off some other foreign country, how would you feel?
He didn't like his wife.
Well, that's not, you know, it was duty, and he had children and everything like that. And you know, sannyas in his kind means, look, if I took sannyas, my income would quadruple. I guarantee it. But sannyas really means you become a civil dead person. You know, they read your will and distribute your property, and you have no income. And so at least someone who's a sannyas, they should have that mentality. That's what sannyas means. You know, you're thinking maybe, you know, suddenly becomes sannyas and suddenly becomes rich, and he wasn't really. And then see, he gave up his business also, so then there was no income. And then literally Prabhupada, but he had big plans, and he was a beggar. Then he went to Vrindavan, and first thing happened, he got gored by a bull. And was really hurt badly, and somehow called back to his room, and it took a while to recuperate. Why is it that when he surrenders and goes to Vrindavan, the first thing that happens, he gets gored by a bull? Would you say, Krishna, I surrendered to you, and this is what you did to me, never mind? Prabhupada said, I accepted that it was Krishna's mercy. And later, I understood how it was Krishna's mercy. But first, he just accepted. Somehow it's Krishna's mercy. I don't understand. Mm-hmm. So, in a previous purport, it said that this pritta meant that one has an attitude to Krishna like a son to a father or a subject to the king. It means that in some ways I don't understand why you're doing what you're doing. I don't know what's going on, why you're making the decisions you're making. But I know this, that you care for me and that you know what's best for me. I mean, you have children. When you made them go to school, didn't they think you were their worst enemy? You weren't, but they thought you were. So Krishna makes arrangement. Here it is, Shraddha Shabde. This is from Majjha Leela 2262. This is where you find this quotation, 2262. Mahaprabhu says, Shraddha Shabde, the word Shraddha, Vishvashakahe, Sudvidhanischaya, is a certain kind of faith, Vishvasha, that is firm and certain. Krishna bhakti koila sarva karma kutahai. That when there is, by executing Krishna bhakti, sarva karma kutahai, everything else automatically is done and taken care of. All other activities, whatever else you need to do or needs to be done is taken care of. And then here's where he quotes this verse about pouring water on the roots of a tree, all the leaves and branches become
satisfied or giving food to the stomach, the whole senses become fed. So you go into the center, and so all of the obligations, all of the duties, all of the necessities, you don't have to make an extraneous effort. Because to be successful in Krishna consciousness, Krishna says we need the avasanamika buddhi. We just can't have our fingers in many pies. We can't hedge our bets. And we have to put everything into one thing. All the eggs in one basket. They say those guys do that. I'm just going to concentrate on Krishna, and that mean and. That doesn't mean I don't do other things, but everything else I do in such a way that that is supported. Mm-hmm. And then one can be, this Vyavasa Atmika Buddhi, Prabhupada says, is strong faith. I mean, Buddhi is really the agent or the faculty for establishing faith. Intelligence, and so it should be based in Krishna. You're going to have some faith in something somewhere. So what is it? People say they don't have any faith, they're not clear about what's going on. So Krishna's the best place.
Can I ask a question before my question?
I wouldn't have known it unless you were telling me, but you want to ask me?
Well, no, just off what you said. How was it Krishna's mercy involved?
Yeah.
How was it?
Yeah, he didn't say, but he just said he understood it was.
Right, but then he said later he understood how
it was. Yeah, yeah.
Did he not tell you?
But he didn't tell, and I didn't ever hear him say
okay.
what it was.
Okay.
It's probably none of our business, but. But wasn't that important that he tells him? But he did understand it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It was recently in a conversation with somebody when we were talking about this business. So all of the Gita, where Krishna says, you know, worship me, bow down to me,
mm-hmm.
Always think of me.
Mm-hmm.
Is he doing this that we should do this for our own benefit or for his narcissism?
His narcissism is our benefit.
Is it
true? Yeah, it really is, because we just have to understand we are constituted as part and parcel of Krishna. It's like the only way the hand can be nourished if it gives food to the stomach. The only way the jiva can become satisfied is if it satisfies Krishna. When Krishna is satisfied, we become satisfied. Therefore, it is real self-interest. People talk about enlightened self-interest. This is it, because we don't know what the self is, and the self is not the little Atma, but it's the big Atma. So this is the key to our happiness, too. Krishna just happens to be the ground of everything. He happens to be the root, or the roots of this tree. Which everything else is there. That's his position. He's just not one among many. If I serve somebody else, they become satisfied, I'm out. It doesn't satisfy me. But I'm not part and parcel of that other person. I am part and parcel of Krishna. So, what Krishna wants, Krishna aims at enjoyment. But he experiences that enjoyment in relationship with his devotees. When he's in a relationship with his devotees, they are in a competition to see who can serve each other the most. Because Krishna is prema vashaha, he's controlled by the love of his devotees. So when his devotee serves somebody, when his devotee serves him, Krishna wants to repay. There's something people have a hard time understanding, but I just read one where Prabhupada was talking about
Oh, it's Guru Maharaj. That some street musicians or professional kirtan players were coming by and playing kirtan. And his Guru Maharaj listened for a while and gave them a rupee. They said, why did you give them the money? You know, they're professional players. And he said, we enjoyed their music for a while, so now we have an obligation. We own it. There was just this sense that if you receive something from somebody, that's created an obligation to reciprocate. This is the way it is. And actually, if you don't, if you get things for free, then you pay it back next life. You know, so there's always this obligation. So Krishna also is like that. So when his devotee serves him, he feels he wants to do something in exchange, and he'll do something more for the devotee, and the devotee feels, look, I'm receiving the service of Krishna, I want to do more for him. This is the relationship. I mean, it's nothing to do like some guy laying back up, you know, receiving service from everybody and giving nothing in exchange. That's not God, that's a demon. So Krishna wants to engage us in that relationship so that not only his bliss expands, our bliss expands, and the bliss of the universe keeps on expanding. Okay? Is that the pre-question question? Is that the question?
That was the post-question question.
Okay. Yeah?
I'm sorry. You were just saying that... we're part and parcel of Krishna.
Yeah.
Right? Doesn't that also make us, in a sense, part and parcel
of each other?
Yeah.
Only
I don't
Krishna.
Mean my by
not exactly, but it means that if I'm part of Krishna and you're part of Krishna, then we are both parts of Krishna together.
Yeah, that's sort of what I meant.
Yeah. So we're related in this way. The real relationship between you and me. It is not manifest so long as we see each other as separate from Krishna. But if you see me as related to Krishna and I see you as related to Krishna, then we are together, really and truly related to each other. Otherwise, it's an illusion of relationship based on the body.
Don't make us part of each other because we're together trying to serve Krishna.
I wouldn't use that phrase because sometimes you think you're part of each other.
No, I didn't mean
it's like an impersonal thing, well then don't say it that way. That's what it sounds like.
I'm trying not to.
Okay.
I'm trying to put it in a way that's not in my body
yeah.
terms.
So
like,
we're united, yeah, with Krishna in the center, sure. Any relationship we have with each other, Krishna should be the middle term. There are no dyads, there's only triads. Well, you and Krishna, I guess, is a dyad, but otherwise it's all at least triads. Or if you're walking mini dogs, then it's a myriad. What else? Yeah?
You spoke about the Krishna. I appreciate the snake as a messenger of Krishna. We appreciate that the snake would come and
bite us. Yeah, uh-huh.
How I always can see this every single attempt as a messenger of
Krishna. Yeah, because, well, you see, because when our vision is pure, we see nothing but Krishna. And there's a relationship with Krishna, and Krishna is always working for the devotee in such a way that it's beneficial for the devotee. This is why the real reason that a devotee sees good and bad is the same. Not because he's just stoic, but he simply says it's all good because it all comes from Krishna. And some people may say, you know, I like this but I don't like it. No, it's, if this comes from Krishna, it's all good. and the vision is different. They had to see the thing. Prabhupada, in the early days, he was on the, stepped out on the out of the Boston temple, and there was this really kind of Boston weather we would prefer didn't happen in the world. There was cold, freezing sleet coming down and over the sky. And the devotee said to Prabhupada, "Oh, what a miserable day." And Prabhupada said, "Days are not miserable. You're miserable." But yeah, you know, the day was given by Krishna.
Mm-hmm.
And he accepted it. You have to be sure. Krishna, whatever Krishna sends is good. And so the devotee just has this strong sense. Everything that happens to me, everything goes along, it is by Krishna's grace. And it's happy because everything reminds me of Krishna. No problems. Anything else? Okay, thank you. Prabhupada ki
jai. We brought the Supabhu ki jai.
So we brought that in at 4 o'clock, and then tomorrow morning,
7 o'clock.
10 o'clock, 10 a.m.
Here again, and we'll have our last.